1 Corinthians chapter 14, we continue our study tonight. We're going to start at verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 6. And Paul is still emphasizing how that we're here to edify the church. Verse 6, would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do bow before you. Father, speak to us through your word tonight. Give us understanding and insight into your word so that we may grow thereby. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 12, we kind of start at the end here, but Paul makes a statement, since you're zealous for spiritual gifts. And the church of Corinth was very zealous. They had this passionate desire for spiritual gifts. And as I said this morning, their problem was they wanted the one popular spiritual gift, which was speaking in tongues. So verse 12, Paul says, if you're going to be zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for those gifts that will serve to edify the church and seek to excel in the edification of the church. Then we go back with that in our mind. And Paul makes the statement again. He's still dealing with tongues. He makes the statement there. If I speak in tongues, what shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or knowledge and so on. Now, Paul, in battling the abuse of tongues here, the problem was, when somebody spoke in tongues in a church setting where everybody spoke the same language, it was absolutely useless. As a matter of fact, nobody could understand what was said. And we don't battle in today's church or here at Victory, we don't battle the problem of the abuse of tongues. I'm glad we do not. Some churches do. However, there is a principle that I want you to get tonight. Okay? And that principle evolves around the question, how do others profit from my ministry? You see, the goal of your ministry, you're a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, therefore you have a ministry. The goal of your ministry must be the spiritual growth of others. And to reach this goal, you must communicate your ministry very plainly, clearly, and concisely, so that people know what you're about. They know why you do what you do. And that's what Paul was saying in verses 6 through 9, that the message had to be very distinct. Verse 7, it says, even things without life make a distinct sound. Now, I want to stop there just a moment. And he's talking about musical instruments. And music is wonderful when you know what you're doing, right? You play the different notes just the right way, and you clearly hear the song that's being played, and you recognize the song. If I were to ask Beth to play Amazing Grace, would you recognize that song? Absolutely. If I were to ask Beth to play Victory in Jesus, would you recognize that song? Absolutely you would. However, the reason you would recognize that song is Beth knows how to put the notes in just the right places and how to pause in just the right places so that it's obvious to you. You hear that sound and you know that's what she's playing. She's using her talent to bless you, right? And that's the point. So, I also have a grandson. His name is Harden. And he loves to play the piano also. He plays it at the house pretty frequently. And when he gets on the piano, he just bangs. All you hear is banging on the piano. And because he bangs on the piano, after just a few minutes, the thought comes into your mind, will you please stop? You're a noise. You're not playing a song. But he'll tell you he's playing a song. The difference is when you know how to play a song as opposed to when you don't know how to play a song. That song that, and please understand, I love my grandson dearly, but if Harden's playing, I get absolutely nothing out of it. Right? Why? Because the song is not distinct, clear, and concise. And those notes are not arranged in a particular order so that I immediately know that's Amazing Grace or that's Victory in Jesus. You see, that requires somebody who uses their gift, their talent. Here's what you have to understand. I cannot stress, and I know I'm repeating myself, I understand. But you have a God-given gift. Okay? And in that God-given gift, you declare a distinct message. Now remember, when you use your gift is not for you. Right? It's not for your benefit. It's for the benefit of others. That's the idea of spiritual gift. You promote the spiritual growth of other people. Right? So, when you use that gift, you're declaring a message. The question is, what is the message you are declaring? Does that make sense? Right? When you use your spiritual gift will serve to promote the spiritual growth of somebody else, or it will not. You see? For example, some people are so welcoming. Have you noticed that? Some people have the gift to just talk to you and make you feel better because you talk to them. That is a gift. Right? And when they use that gift, you leave them encouraged and thankful that you were exposed to them. And as they use that gift, they encourage you. You know anybody like that? Absolutely. If you don't, you need to shop around a little bit. We all need people like that in our lives, right? But they declared a message to you, a message of encouragement, a message that uplifts you. We as a church, when a guest comes through that door, we declare a message to them, okay? If we speak to that guest, if we ask them their name, and you may wonder, Brother Doug, why have you been so big on names lately, asking people their name? Because it delivers a message. And that message is when you look them in the eye and you say, what's your name? And you use their name. That message that you're declaring to them very plainly is, I care about you. And I'm glad you're here. If you see someone sitting alone. You ever seen those people who sit alone in service? You wonder, what's wrong with them? Don't let someone sit alone. Because if you let that person sit alone, you're saying, I don't care. You know what I really appreciate? We Baptists, we get stuck in our ways, don't we? We sit in the same pews and do the same things over and over. I really appreciate those who will move from their pew and sit with somebody so that they don't have to sit alone. You know what that says? That delivers a clear, distinct message that says, hey, I care about you. And we have people like that. As we worship, You know, did you sing tonight? Some are kind of... Do you know the message that you portray as you, or when you worship, you deliver a message to everyone around you? If that message is, I'm not going to sing, I don't, you know, Brother Dale's on his own, that's what we paid Dale for, what you're saying is worship's not important. But when you lift your voice and praise to God, and it doesn't matter what it sounds like, because let's face it, not all of us have a voice that is sweet as birds. But we can still use that voice to praise the Lord. And you know, that declares a message to everyone around you that says God is worthy of worship. You see, the idea that I want you to deliver or to deliver to you tonight is that a lot of times we deliver a message without even realizing we're delivering a message. We don't think about letting someone sit alone, or we don't think about asking someone their name, or we don't think about speaking to someone, that needs to be spoken to. We don't stop and think, hey, I am here to bless somebody else. You know, every time you come to church, you should not be coming to get. You should be coming to give. Okay? And you're coming to encourage. You're coming to look for that opportunity to take someone who may not be in the best of moods and help them get over it. To look to someone that may be discouraged and look to help to encourage them. Let your actions, well, I say let your actions, your actions will declare what you want people to know about Victory. Listen, this is the most loving church I've ever been a part of. Have no doubt. So I want you to understand I'm not raking you over the coals tonight. But sometimes we get lax, don't we? Sometimes we forget to go out of our way to make a difference in the life of somebody else and declare a message that will encourage them. Our actions declare a message. As I said, this is a principle that's put forth in this. You know, we don't deal with tongues. I know we don't, you know. I get that. But the message is the same. The principle is there. Let us declare to the world what we want them to know about Victory. And even beyond that, let us declare to the world what we want them to know about the God that we say that we know. Let it be plain and clear and concise. And let us change our mindset just a little bit, that instead of just going to church, we go to church with a purpose. That my job is to make you better because I came to church. And your job is to make others better because you came to church. And how do you do that? We do that by having a desire to edify other people. To excel in edifying other people. That's a different phrase there in verse 12, isn't it? Okay? Even so, since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. That word excel, the idea is go above and beyond. That you want to go above and beyond to see this church grow. If you want to see this church grow, it starts with the individual members of this church. You know that, right? It starts with the people that you speak to, or even the people that you don't speak to. Again, and I know maybe I sound like a broken record, but once again, God has just really got a hold of me in reference to love. Sometimes we forget to be as loving as we should be. Maybe I should say sometimes I forget to be as loving as I should be. Yeah? And so we start with love. And instead of focusing on what we get, we love people enough that we focus on other people. That's the point, or the principle that Paul is putting forward here. As I said, I know that Victory Baptist Church is a loving church. Okay? But what I want to challenge you tonight and this week to do is to be conscious of letting other people know how good the God you serve is. Right? Being that encouragement. Being that person that when people walk away from you, they're glad they talked to you. You're going to have an opportunity to do that tonight when we dismiss in just a few moments. Find somebody. Be an encouragement to that somebody. Does anybody here need to be encouraged? Raise your hand. Everybody here needs to be encouraged. Come on. Right? Find that person and be that encouragement. Other thing I want to do tonight. You're saying, he's quitting preaching early. I am, aren't I? But I've got something else. Friends, God has opened a ministry door for Victory. Everywhere we look, there's an opportunity to declare the message of Jesus Christ. Last Wednesday night, I don't know how many kids we had back in Awanas, but we had a bunch. That's a ministry. There are kids back there who need to be saved. Okay? That's the point of that ministry. That's why we're here. Not only in Awanas was there a good attendance, the teens, I don't know how many they had, but I saw a lot of teens running around back there. You know what? Likely as not, there are people in that teen ministry that need to be saved. Not only teen ministry and Awana ministry, college ministry. I was over there for a little while. I didn't count heads, but there were a bunch of college students over there for the Wednesday night worship and meal. Do you know what? There's probably college students that need to be saved. So I want to take this portion of our service tonight, and I want to have a prayer service or a time of prayer. I want to have a time of prayer for our Awana ministry and those kids, and pray for the salvation of those kids. That's why we're here. You know, when a church gets exciting is when people are being saved. You know what? That's when church is exciting. I love, you know, when people join the church. That's a wonderful thing. But if you really want to fire a church up, you start seeing souls being saved. So I want to have prayer for our Awana, specifically. Then I want to have prayer for our teens. I started back to school, you know, and they face a lot. And they need Jesus. I want to have prayer for our teens. And then I want to have prayer for our college students. Okay? That's three. The fourth one, I want to have prayer for our church that we will declare the message of Jesus Christ consciously, unconsciously, that we let our community know inside these walls as well as outside these walls who Jesus is. All right? I want to ask you to bow your heads, and we're going to have that time of prayer right now. I'm going to call on, first of all, I'm going to call on Brother Greg Long. Will you lead us and pray for the Awana ministry? And then I want to call on Brother Michael DeLuel and ask if he would lead us in prayer for the teen ministry. And then I want to ask Brother Michael to lead us in prayer for our college students. And then I'm going to close in prayer for our church. Brother Greg, would you start? Yes, Lord. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, knowing that every good gift comes from you. And Father, you have given us a wonderful gift in this church family. I thank you for the privilege of being a part of this church family. And now, Lord, we look at the ministries that you have set before us, the doors that you have opened. And Father, we know that we do not have the power ourselves, nor ability of ourselves, to accomplish anything. And so, Father, I pray that you will empower our church to reach the lost children in Awana, the lost teens, Lord, that in our teen ministry, the college students who are lost. I pray that there will be a wave of people coming to know you for salvation such as we have never seen before. And Father, we can minister, but only you can save souls. So Father, I pray that you would equip us, empower us, but that, Lord, you would bring the harvest. Father, help us to be very mindful, very intentional in the way that we serve, so that everything that we do, Lord, declares you, your love, your salvation, and your goodness. Father, help us to make disciples, not only through our children, but through adults, Lord. Help us to be concerned for one another, have a love for one another. For by this all men shall know that we are your disciples. Help us, Lord, to distinguish ourselves by the love, your love, Lord, so that all the world can see your goodness. Lord, help us to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But Lord, help us to also have a vision outside this church to reach the lost, to witness, and to declare your goodness in our community so that, Lord, people will come to you. And now, Father, as we dismiss this service, Father, I pray that you would help us to be mindful of our responsibilities, that as we go, that we make disciples, that we concern ourselves, Lord, and always be looking for an opportunity to witness and to share Jesus and the goodness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we pray that your will be done throughout this week, and that all that occurs will serve to your honor and to your glory. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.